okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we rebuilt those roads, and that was a really important job, because those roads were built to bring the guns, the big artillery, mm-hmm. that was supposed to start the push of Montgomery against the Roman army. Mm-hmm. At that time, they if you remember, Rommel was about 50 kilometers, maybe less, from Alexandria. And there was a real danger that he will overcome the British there, and that would have been a disaster for for Palestine. Anyway, we prepared those roads. And I was there, right there behind the lines. We had to be there with loaded trucks with this gravel stuff. Oh, we were saying that really you couldn't use the, you couldn't just drive in the desert, because it's too soft. Yeah. So that's why they had to build the roads to get forward. As a matter of fact, there was also some trick involved, because Montgomery ordered to have roads built all over the place.
He asked for too much.
He asked for all kind of roads, some which he planned to use and others which he didn't plan to use.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a trick to so the Germans didn't know where the attack is coming from. Mm-hmm. And then one night, we knew that there's going to be an attack. And one night, the sky was all lit with flares that we never saw before. There were flares that stood in the sky for...
Hung there.
Where?
It hung in the sky.
It hung in the sky for maybe an hour.
Yeah.
And I mean, now it's nothing special, but at that time, it was really something special. Mm-hmm. And...
Okay,
leave the door open. Okay. Everybody gone?
Everyone's gone.
No, Chris? Okay, bye. Okay. All right. The sky was lit, and the British artillery, there were guns across the desert, from one end to the next, one next to the other, camouflaged with big nets. And we saw, of course, how they were brought forward, because we were there all the time. And they bombarded the Germans for hours. And then by daybreak, the British started attacking with tanks and with infantry and whatever, and the Germans started to retreat, first orderly, in an orderly fashion, and then they really ran. Obviously, there were less forces with Rommel than had been thought.
Yeah.
The intelligence overestimated the I don't answer the phone. We have to stop, because that was the time when I was hit by a truck, mm-hmm. with all those with all that going on, with all the artillery and everything, I wasn't hit by a bullet, I was hit by a tiger. Later on I got a piece of shrapnel in my leg, but at that time we were on a convoy, we used to call it convoy. That was already after the Germans retreated, and we had convoys to bring. That was already not with the dump trucks, that was regular trucks, and we had to bring supplies to the front.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one road in that desert. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was jammed. It was jammed, and it took days to get through. But then we had regular convoys back to Alexandria, where the port was, to pick up supplies and bring them to the front. And what we were doing to make a smaller target. They were taking, let's say we had a convoy of 30 trucks, and we had to rest sometimes to eat or something like that. So they used to put us along the road, but always two trucks together. So there were, instead of 30 targets, they would only have 15 targets and a little farther apart each target. And there came a driver on the road, and the road was a little bit wet. Sometimes it rains a little bit in the desert, like dew. It's almost rain, and when there's sand on the road, and with this little bit of moisture,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like ice.
Mm-hmm.
And that driver slid, and he slid in the outer track of the two trucks that were standing, and I was between the two trucks eating lunch. He hit this outer track, and the outer track ran into the inner trunk, and I was in between. Took me to the hospital, and didn't have a bone broken in my body. Everybody thought that I was wrong.
Mm.
And I was there for one night in the hospital, and begged at my unit. I want to tell a story.
Was there any air attack? German. The Germans had
a lot of strafing.
Strafing.
Not really bombing. The Germans had not. They were inferior in their air power at that time in the Western Desert.
So they only had strafing.
But they came to strafing every night. And the convoys, they came just along the convoys, and this machine guns that just went through, and it wasn't pleasant. We had quite some casualties there.
Yeah.
But what I want to tell you, on the way to Benghazi, one of the drivers came and told me. It was right after the troops went through and we came to bring supplies. A driver came and he brought a woman who was very frightened, a Jewish woman. And we started asking her what's the matter, what are you doing here? So we found out that the Germans had a bordello for the soldiers there, and the woman had on her chest had a mark, felt wool. I saw this with my own eyes.
Felt wool, what is felt?
Felt means field.
Field wool.
Yeah. And so that woman was shivering like a leaf, and so she brought us to, after she heard that we are Palestinian, she brought us a little out of the way. There was a the truck, and it was like a truck and two trailers. It was fenced in, and it was like a bordello for the German soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the woman back to Alexandria, and when we came back from this, and we sent her to our headquarters, and from there, I understand that they smuggled her into Palestine. They had even in that truck, they had silk stockings. I mean, I don't think there was nylon then, but they had silk stockings for those women and silk underwear, and it was a real.
I'm not going to ask if you got a treat or not, but I'll let it go at that.
If what?
It was quite an experience to run into that.
It was. Yeah.
All armies always have always had.
Yeah, but we only found this one with this one woman. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
Where were the other women?
They ran away, and I don't know who they ran into. This one was lucky and happy that she ran into Palestinians.
Yeah.
But the others, I don't know what happened to them. Mm-hmm. That was close to, on the way to Benghazi, somewhere between Tobruk and Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the British soldiers weren't that lucky. They didn't have bordellos.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, that's an interesting story, that when a British unit went out of the field, you know,
mm-hmm.
they were
yeah.
in for a few weeks or
mm-hmm.
so, and then they took them back to Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
They used to quarantine those units because they considered them sex menders.
Anybody would be.
The only thing what they did, as a matter of fact, they used to feed all the troops in the desert with
saltpeter.
Mm. I see you know all this.
I know a little about it, yes.
But it was really the British soldiers, after they came back, they were in bad shape from the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when I was wounded. A piece of shrapnel got in my leg, left leg here, and I.
Where is that? Between Benghazi and Tobruk?
That was close to Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
They were still fighting
mm-hmm.
Around Benghazi, and they took me to a desert hospital. From the desert hospital, they took me to a transit camp in Egypt. They didn't, after the hospital, they didn't send you back to the unit, especially if the unit was not really close by. And the hospital was in Ismailia, that was a real base. You heard about Ismailia?
Yes.
I mean, but not the army camp. I think the camp was called Abu Kabir, if I'm not mistaken. Is that name in anything?
Yes, Abu Kabir is close to
Tel Aviv. No, but there wasn't. Yeah, that's, you know the Abu Kabir in Tel Aviv. But there was a camp close to Ismailia. The name was Abu Kabir, and they had a big concert camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they were looking for translators.
Mm-hmm.
for a German. And
it was 1942.
No, that was later. That was already in 43, before the invasion to Sicily. I really don't. It really swims a little bit, the date. I'm not that sure about the date, but it had to be around that time.
And the British were looking for translators?
They were looking for, yeah, they called it interpreters and translators. And they took me, and they sent me to a unit called, it was a British intelligence unit, called AAPIU, Army Air Photo and Interrogation Unit. It was not an Air Force unit, it was an Army unit. But they used to get air photos. At that time they used to take pictures, the airplanes just take pictures, and they used to bring them in. And in that unit, they used to interpret those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And the unit was had two parts, to interpret the picture and to interrogate prisoners. That's when I got the first, I was a corporal, then I was a sergeant, I got the field commission as a non-commissioned officer,
Now, wait a minute, non-commissioned?
Not a commissioned.
Okay.
Because the commissioned rank in the British Army was a King's Commission. And
not available.
It was a field. It was like a field commission.
Yeah.
Temporary field commission. As a matter of fact, the reason for that commission was very similar what we had in Israel after the Six-Day War, when we interrogated prisoners. The interrogator got officers in Sydney, because they had more, they were more...
Stolz.
No, they were more heated to by those that were
more respect. They gained more respect.
Yeah. So it was not a commission that gave me any raise in pay or that I could keep for later on. It was a local commission for this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Those units are not so well known, because those are really intelligence units, and I don't think that too many people knew about them.
Mm-hmm.
We had real nice officers in that unit, British officers. They were so friendly and really almost they regarded me as an equal, which was very unusual for British officers, mm-hmm. because they are usually big snobs. As a matter of fact, that's where I learned to play bridge, and I always played bridge with those British officers. So I was attached to one of those officers as an interrogator, translator, and and the unit that we were in was called the Malta Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
The headquarter of the Malta Brigade at that time was in Cairo in Heliopolis, which is one of the most fancy sections in Cairo. And that's where I was stationed. I had a little jeep, and at that time jeeps were the real, the most modern thing in the British Army. They came straight from the United States, and they looked like a box. The jeeps, they looked like a factory like box. It was very impressive, and they were very useful in desert territory too. So at Cairo, then at Heliopolis, we prepared